Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. And now, here's your host, Rick Ingram.
Hi guys, welcome back to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. I'm Rick Ingram. If you were unaware, I am not a stranger. Well, I am a stranger to a lot of people, but thanks for coming back. Thanks for listening. Our first stranger tonight, Brandon Randall. Is that right?
That's correct.
Pretty sweet. Brandon Randall's a good sounding name.
It's like two first names, right?
Yeah, kind of. The spelling of the second one makes it seem last name-ish.
Yeah, exactly.
Anytime you get that solid double first name, it does sound cool.
Right.
How are you, Brandon?
I'm doing well tonight. How are you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Where are you from originally?
I'm actually from Simi Valley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm born and raised there, actually, and I've never even left, which is kind of boring. So,
really?
Yeah.
Simi Valley is interesting. It's I'm from Kansas, and it's as close of a vibe to that as you can get in the greater Los Angeles area.
I always think about the thing that they did on Joe Dirt, where they said, "Oh yeah, you know, his family lived out in Simi Valley in a trailer park."
Yeah.
So that's I get that.
Yeah, that's what people they go, "I'm familiar."
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one that I always think of was in that the miniseries they did about the OJ trial.
Right.
The cops said something like, "Well, you took the evidence back to Simi Valley," and then they immediately used that as like a, "This is clearly a racist situation." And I just remember being like, "Whoa, that's crazy."
Yeah, no, there's a lot of cops and a lot of firefighters that live out there. So,
right.
So it's like an interesting area.
It's the Staten Island
Los
Angeles.
It's the red zone opposite of LA.
They got a great cupcake place out there called Skiff's Cakes.
Yes, I've had that.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And then, other than that, I don't think I know anything about
Simi
Valley.
All of our cakes come from is from Skiff's.
Yeah, they're amazing. And they made cupcakes for my wedding.
Oh,
and,
nice.
I got married out in Moor Park.
Oh, okay.
And then, we go back regularly. Like my kids' birthdays, we always get Skiff's.
Oh, that's awesome.
They're so superior.
Yeah.
Very nice people too.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I actually work local government.
So you're out in Simi Valley, local government?
Well, I actually work for Ventura County government.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like county job kind of a thing, you know.
All right.
And I do IT stuff, which is very, very boring. So I don't want to bore you with that kind of stuff. But
how? What kind of technology is Ventura County dealing with? Are they like, top shelf?
I wouldn't say that, man. They go based off of whatever tax money they can get, you know.
And it can't be that good.
And everything moves at a snail's pace because it's government. So, you know, it's kind of a boring thing.
How did you get into that? What led to the... what was the goal? When you were a kid, what did you want to do?
You know what? I was just like, I guess I was like such a nerd when I was younger that like the thing that I didn't want to do was... I was a bad student, for one.
Okay.
And so, like, I didn't do the college thing and anything like that. But
by the way, a rare nerd.
A rare nerd.
The bad student nerd.
The bad student nerd, exactly. Yeah. I guess, I don't know what it was, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just like computers and stuff, so I just started messing around with them, and it just kind of, like, fell into place for me, you know? It's like one of those things, like, my dad was always like, "You got to go to college, got to get a good job," and everything like that, and, you know...
Yeah,
that's just a screw up.
That's the American way. They just always try and push you like it's important that you go to college, and then at some point, most people should realize like this is a terrible plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially now, college is so expensive. The amount of people that just go into horrible debt to get a remedial job that they could have gotten without college.
Yeah, I think that was the smartest thing was like avoiding debt and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, it's like it gets you a little bit ahead and everything, and. You know, like, yeah, if you can make decent money and not go to college, that's kind of a good idea.
I don't want to brag, but I dropped out of two film schools.
Did you?
So, you know, I went for it. And then both times I'm like, what am I doing? This is not the right plan. It says here you're a home brewing enthusiast.
I am a home brewing enthusiast.
Are you brewing beer? Are you making moonshine? What are we talking about here?
Oh, man, I would love to make moonshine too. But yeah, no, right now it's just all beer.
All beer.
All beer. And just, yeah, having fun with that. I get together with a bunch of friends and we just make beer and just hang out and, you know, shoot the shit.
Nice.
You know, and like drink and have a good time.
How long does it take to make a beer?
Jesus, man. It could take anywhere between like 5 to 6 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a long process, and you know, sometimes everyone's like, "All right, I got to go," you know, like got to go home to the wife, kids,
right,
dinner and stuff like that, you know, and it's like, but the biggest part of it is like cleaning, which is a pain in the ass, but you know, we're making like 5 gallons of beer at a time kind of a thing, which isn't really much.
But are you drinking your own beer? Is that?
Oh yeah, yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
When you're waiting for the beer to be made, what are you drinking?
Usually like a mixture of, you know, some of the home beers that we make and some other beers, because like you really don't make much, you know, and it's
yeah.
like it's kind of one of those things where once a beer's ready to go, you make it and then you kind of sit back, you know, have another couple of beers, buy some different beers and stuff like that. So
right.
yeah, it's a, you know, it's like it's an interesting process.
It sounds very Simi Valley.
It sounds very, very Simi Valley for sure.
Yeah, where you're like, what do you do out there? Like, we make our own beer.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's like a, I don't know, kind of sounds like bougie kind of a little bit.
Well, it's a weird thing because there are some, again, being from Kansas, I know people who make beer at home.
Right.
And they're just kind of blue-collar dudes who got
yeah.
into it and are like, they really like doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like funny because, like, I guess in California, I don't know. It's like, yeah, it's a blue collar thing, but it's also kind of like a, I don't know.
It's like a hipster thing.
It's a hipster now. Thing, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, out here, it seems more like it's like beer snobs.
Beer snobby kind of thing. Yeah.
It definitely is like, you know, I'm not paying $9 for a beer when I can make my own that's better. And you're like, all right, have fun in Silver Lake.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I definitely think the beers that we make are like good and taste good and everything like that, but, you know, there's other beers out there that you got to drink and try and stuff. So
what kind of beers do you make?
You know, anything from like IPAs, stouts,
yeah,
lagers, you know, anything like that. You know, it's just kind of one of those things that it's like a group consensus that we all come up with to go like, all right, what are we going to try this time, you know? So
right,
yeah.
Now, do you ever make like the weird raspberry beers and things that should never be made?
yeah, no, I don't think we've done like a raspberry, but I mean, we've done like stuff with like orange and
yeah.
you know, things like that.
That sounds all right. The orange, the citrus stuff never bothered me.
Citrus stuff is yeah, actually pretty good, right?
I don't drink anymore, but when I did, I would go to parties or whatever, and people would be like, "You got to try this," and they'd give me some weird fruit beer, and
yeah.
it always tasted like fermented piss.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're like, what, did you just mix raspberries and
yeah.
urine in a blender?
Those are the weird ones actually to me, because they like do these ones that have they use bacteria to like make them, and it makes a sour beer. And so like I'm not really into the like the sour thing, but
yeah,
like, for me it's like, yeah, if it's got a good like, you know, kind of like subtle hint of fruit, that's cool. But
yeah,
I know a lot of people that love the sour beers and stuff like that.
That's
so
weird to me.
Yeah, no, it's different for sure.
Do you despise American beer?
You know what? Honestly, like I call like Coors Light like work water for me.
Okay.
Because it's like, you know, if you're like doing stuff around the house or, you know, doing things that like, you know, require a lot of work and you're like hot and everything, the Coors Light is like always good. Doesn't get you like too buzzed. You can actually still operate a chainsaw or something. I don't know.
We need to get video of this. How many Coors Lights does it take to where you can't operate a chainsaw?
Yeah. No, I know. That's the thing, right? I mean, you get like a 36-pack of beer, and it's like, man, there's only like 3 left. Are we sure we should still be doing this right now?
Now we're talking. This is the kind of hijinks I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people who really will go through a staggering amount of plain American beer.
Right.
And I'm always just amazed when I'm just like, wow, I couldn't drink that much water, let alone that
right.
much beer. But I guess, you know, you're getting the buzz from it, so that benefits people.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also know other people who won't drink it at all, and they're like, oh, I'm not drinking that
shit. It just
shit.
makes the job go by a little bit quicker, maybe.
Yeah.
A little slower, I don't know. Whatever works.
I knew, when I was younger, I knew a lot of people who would crush a case of Natty Light.
Natty Light.
And even
yeah.
then, I would drink it, and I'd be like, this is the worst thing I've ever...
I don't know if I'd drink Natty Light, actually. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a little...
It seems like you should be underage.
Yeah.
If you're going to drink it. And I do believe Natty Light can taste all right, but not until 12 or 13 beers in.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
it's
when you're
one
like,
of the
oh,
ones
this
that
is
you,
okay.
you got to go for it like later on.
Do you have family?
Mm-hmm. I do actually. Well, I got my sister out there, and you know, got my mom, and
right.
you know, everyone too. So.
And they're all still see me.
They're all still see me. Yeah, it's
nice.
Kind of funny. So yeah, I got one niece that lives out kind of more towards the Valencia area and stuff like that. But yeah, we're all kind of like stuck in like Simi Valley.
Yeah.
So
do you like it though?
I actually do. I mean, I don't mind it. You know, it's like, it's not a bad place to live. I just always think it's kind of boring. You know, it's like when people ask you, oh, where are you from? Simi Valley. Where do you live? Simi Valley.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
Yeah. Didn't escape. It's not that far. I mean, it's a bit of a drive, I guess, but
it's not bad, actually.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
It didn't take me long to get here tonight. It was like way quicker, you know, than I thought. So.
And you, do you drive? Growing up, did you go to L.A. to see sports, to see concerts?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I love going to, like, Kings games and stuff like that. I'm not a huge sports guy, but I do like, you know, hockey and stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, it's you know, yeah, I remember, you know, going to L.A. back in the day, and it was a lot scarier when you were younger, I guess.
It seems
L.A.'s changed a lot, so.
Well, I was talking to someone from L.A. earlier, and they were saying that L.A. is so much scarier now. And I was like, really?
Really? Yeah.
And they go, well, there's homeless people everywhere. I'm like, I feel like you just didn't pay attention to the homeless people before because they were there.
Yeah. I remember, like, coming down here and stuff like that. And, like, you know, like, in school they would always tell you about, like, the gangs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, stay away from gangs and everything. And I was like, yeah, L.A. is where all the, you know, crazy gang stuff was and everything. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to go down there.
Because, of course, you would go from Simi Valley straight to Compton.
Right, exactly.
As if Beverly Hills just has full-on gang shootings going on.
Oh, no, dude, I was scared of Beverly Hills, bro.
Yeah, it's like, I'm always amazed when I meet people who are kind of from the outer limits of Los Angeles area.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have never gone to Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Like, I when I first moved out here, I lived in Manhattan Beach. I didn't know that it was
an hour away,
whatever. It's just like, I wanted to live by the beach, and it seemed like it was L.A. on the giant map that I was looking at.
Yeah.
And so I started working down there, and then I started driving up at night to go to comedy clubs, and it didn't seem that bad because I was traveling
at
night.
It's actually kind of far, though, when you think about it, though.
Dude, it got to be so far. Anytime I had to, like, come to L.A. to do, like, an audition or something, it'd take me, like, an hour and 10 minutes. And
anytime you, like, got to go past LAX, it's like, nah, screw that.
Yeah. I was always trying to find non-highway routes to, like, get up to Hollywood, and it still always ended up taking me way too long.
Where can I find La Cienega and take that up or something?
Where does that start? Inglewood? Perfect.
Yeah, there we go.
And I remember telling people when I started working here that I worked with at a restaurant down there, I said, yeah, you should guys come up. I get spots at the Comedy Store, and it's kind of late, and they're like, oh, I've never been to Sunset. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And they're like 23, born and raised in Torrance or whatever, but they just never came to L.A. for any reason.
Right?
I'm like, wow.
Not even like La Brea Tar Pits on like a school trip or something? Yeah.
I remember going, don't you go to the concerts or something? They go, well, yeah, when they're in Long Beach.
Oh.
Like, what? So weird to me.
You go right through L.A. and get to Long Beach.
Yeah. I knew someone from Moore Park, and they said the only time they ever were in L.A. growing up was they went to the Hollywood Bowl to see something.
Yeah.
And then they were like, I go, wow, what else did you do? And they're like, no, that was it. We just went there and then drove back home.
Yeah, that's like right off the freeway, too. Yeah. So you don't even have to get in the guts of L.A.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
you're brewing still.
Yeah.
How often do we do this?
You know, it's like either every 2 week, every month kind of a thing, you know. It's like, yeah, it's just get together. It's more about hanging out with your friends and stuff like that than
give
anything.
Give you a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I've got a setup too, which is awesome, in my house. I got this chest freezer, you know, and then you put a wood on top of it, and you raise up the lid and everything, and you put your kegs in there, and you got like pour taps and everything like that, and it's sitting in my family room, so...
Dang, all right. So you're very serious about
a little
this.
Serious, I guess, yeah. And it's funny because I had made that, and then my girlfriend's like, you know, you should put that in the house. And I'm like, where? You know, tear out that entertainment center. I had to widen the wall out, you know, and like to try and squeeze that thing in the room.
My God. So, that sounds like real blue-collar man shit.
Yeah, no, I know. And I don't think
I better widen the wall so I can put the keg chest in here.
And I'm not really like blue-collar, but yeah, I guess. I know.
You said you're a computer guy, right?
Yeah, I'm a computer guy. So.
Programming robots. To do it,
yeah,
no doubt.
Exactly. My robots are all blue collar.
You're ex Jehovah's Witness.
I am.
All right. So growing up, that meant no birthdays.
No birthdays.
When was the first birthday you celebrated?
Ah, geez, man, it was probably about like 28, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was about to ask you how old you are, and then I realized you have no age.
Yeah, I don't.
What's so
I'm
growing up?
Shit.
Jehovah's Witness. How old are you now?
I'm 42 now.
You're 42. All right. So you spent 20 years in the 1900s.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
Back then, there was still door-to-door Jehovah's Witnessing going on.
And that was the worst.
Did you do that?
I had to, yeah.
So what's the plan? Have you ever converted a single person?
Yeah, like you go and you like circle up in the morning and like, you know, bring the wagons because it's 1900s, of course.
Sure.
But yeah. No, but we like get together and it's like, all right, we're going to go attack this neighborhood and that neighborhood. And it's like, all right, you're going to go blitzkrieg everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, yeah, we'd start at like 9 o'clock, which I always hated because I'm like, dude, everyone wants to sleep in at least till 10. I knew that at like an early age,
yeah.
You know. That's when my mom was dragging me out, you know, and she's like bribing me with like candy and stuff. Like, if you're quiet and you just walk along, I'll give you some candy. And, you know,
that seems like it should go against the ways of the Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, right. It's like, you got to be friendly.
So, I mean, people already don't want to be converted.
Right.
9 in the morning, especially don't want to be converted.
Nah.
You hit them up a little bit after noon. They might at least
in the afternoon. They've got at least a cup of coffee, yeah. Maybe a little bacon, eggs in them, or something like that. You know, it's like. Yeah.
So what did a Jehovah's Witness life consist of? What kind of things did you have to do that would have been considered abnormal?
What things would be abnormal?
Yeah, I mean, for like in compared to a normal kid, like were you able to watch R-rated movies?
Oh, no.
None of that's allowed.
Yeah, no. I mean, and that's, like, frowned upon and everything like that, but, like, I mean, my parents would watch rated R movies and stuff like that. It would just be, like, and I remember a couple times I got to, like, watch a rated R movie and stuff like that, and it was, like, you know, if some woman, you know, pulled off her top or something like that, I'd be, like, cover your eyes, don't look at this, you know, kind of thing, so... But I actually grew up with, like, my mom was Jehovah's Witness, but my dad was atheist.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a weird mix.
Yeah, it's a weird mix. But he was Jehovah's Witness at one point.
But he escaped.
He was like, I'm done with this. So.
And mom was like, I'm still with it. Is mom still Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah, she is, actually.
She is.
Yeah.
What was the point that broke you? What made you go, I'm not doing this anymore?
Oh, man, I was already done at one point, you know, and I was like kind of out already. And then my dad passed away and I started going again just because my mom was like, hey, I want you to go, you know, kind of thing.
Sure.
And so like, you know, I kind of like did that to like appease and everything. But, you know, it's supportive, kind of a thing. You know, it's like more like, you know, trying to make her, you know, at least feel good, you know, and everything.
Listen,
so.
The last 20 times I went to church in my life, and it was all, I think they were all in the 1900s. We're all because my grandma wanted me to go to church.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, all right, I'll go for you.
Mm-hmm.
But then the whole time I'm sitting in there, I'm going, this fucking idiot Christ doesn't know I don't even believe it.
I got so good at like taking naps with my eyes open and like, you know, like trying to do not like the head bob thing, you know, you'd be sitting there with your eyes like wide and it's like, I'm good. There was a fly by my head or something, you know, like that's why my neck's cricking over.
What's a Jehovah's Witness church set up? Do you have to go all the time? Is it?
You had to go back when I went, it was 3 times a week.
Wow.
It was Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Sundays.
Yeah, so. I remember I knew some Mormon kids, mm-hmm. and they had to go to church like 5 days a week or something.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
Something like that, yeah.
But I only knew one Jehovah's Witness growing up, and she was very cool.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, I was so shocked when I found out, because I'm like, you seem cool. She was kind of like a weird artsy kind of girl.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, you know, she told me about the birthday stuff.
The birthdays, the holidays. There's, like, nothing that they celebrate. So
no Christmas?
Like, no Christmas, no anything.
Do you have
Halloween
to go to church for Christmas?
No.
No, it's nothing.
No, it's just, like, another everyday kind of day kind of thing. Thanksgiving's and just another day, you know, kind of thing.
It is Christian, though, correct?
Yeah, it is Christian. So it's like, you know, God, Jesus, Satan, all that stuff. So
Satan is still around.
Oh, Satan.
That's
important. Oh, he's right here, right now, man, you know, according to them. So
listen, they're not wrong. No. You know, I'm sitting right here. Worship me. Yeah, that's so bizarre. So when you told your mom you weren't doing it, does she not know?
I don't know. She knows.
She knows.
Yeah, no, she knows. And it's like one of those things, like, it's like every time I like go over and hang out with her or, you know, do stuff for her, it's like, here, I've got, you know, the latest Watchtower and Awake magazine. You know,
is that the name of the magazine?
Those are the magazines that we would pass out at the doors, knock at the door. Hey, you want the Watchtower and Awake magazine?
Watchtower and Awake.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the meaning behind Watchtower and Awake? Is that your awakening to Jehovah's?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, yeah, that's like the Watchtower is like their like main publication kind of thing.
Got
it. They would pass out, you know, and it was like all, oh, you know, this is what the Bible says. This is where you're wrong. And, you know, like, this is why Catholics are wrong and, you know, everything.
I'm listening.
Yeah. Do we really want to get into a biblical thing?
Listen, this is the only way we're going to really upset enough people to make this popular.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's all so bizarre to me. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I was already a piece of shit like I am today. And me and my buddy Eli dressed up in matching outfits and just walked around trying to convince people we were Jehovah's Witnesses. And
did you have the white shirt and the tie?
Yeah, we did. What literally happened was someone came to my parents' house and knocked on the door, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses, and I was the one who answered the door. My parents weren't home, and I remember being like, "Yeah, I can listen."
Yeah,
and they gave me the spiel for like 10 minutes, and I was like, "I don't think that makes very much sense."
Yeah,
and, I just remember look on the lady's face, like, so disappointed, because I was really trying to sell it, just interesting.
Show an inch of interest, they'll be back at your house like a week later, and they'll be like, "Hey, remember me? You like this, right?
Yeah.
Here's another one," you know,
damn,
kind of thing. So
my parents probably got a lot of knocks on the door.
Yeah, like, right?
Is there a weird school shooter looking kid here? Because we think we had him on the hook.
Right?
But
if
we
get the kid, we can get the parents.
We made it through maybe three doors before someone was like, "You're not a Jehovah's Witness." What do you mean?
I think it's awesome that you actually did that.
Listen, in Kansas, you do a lot of things to try and
you gotta pass the time.
Yeah. So it was like, we should do that. It'll be funny. We'll go. We went to like the most popular girl in our high school's house. It was also a reason, I think, to go knock on her door, harass her a little bit. We tried to convince people. We didn't actually know any of the Jehovah's Witness stuff, so we just had to kind of make it up.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of like, you know, the world's going to end soon. And they're like, "Is that really something you believe?" And we're like, "Definitely."
Well, you were on track at least there.
Yeah. The world is coming to an end.
Yeah, the world's coming to an end, man.
Beautiful. What is there a timeline?
Oh, yeah. You know, they have so many different timelines that they always say, like, oh, you know, it's like, you know, this year, that year. They don't say specific years, but they're just like, oh, you know, like, you can see how bad the world's getting.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely around the corner.
It's hard not to believe that selling point.
Yeah, kind of like the rapture kind of thing.
COVID must have been good for the Jehovah's Witnesses then. They're like, this is a perfect opportunity.
I think a lot of them probably looked at it as a vacation. They didn't have to go knocking on the doors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, they're like, hey.
If they were dedicated, they would have knocked on twice as many doors, because there's never been a better time to sell the world.
Everyone's home. Yeah. Don't pretend like you're not answering your home.
Oh, great point. Listen, we're going to start our own branch of Jehovah's Witness. This is the time. And it's, you know, maybe I just use it as an opportunity to work material out, you know, on poor souls.
Candid audience.
Does your mom think you're going to hell?
No. They don't believe in hell, actually.
Oh, they don't?
Well, I mean, they believe that there is, you know, like hell in the sense that, you know, like, it's like the end of something, though. They believe like the hellfire thing is like the end of everything, you know. So like when something goes to hell, it's done, kind of a thing.
It's just over.
They don't believe in like they don't believe in going to heaven or hell or anything like
that. Oh, really? There's no heaven either?
No. Well, there's heaven. You know, God's up there, angels are up there, and stuff like that. But
we're not getting in.
You're not getting in. So.
What's the point of trying? That's really, I think that's the most important lesson learned from the Jehovah. All right, well, we're going to take a break, and Sarah's going to come, and she'll ask some follow-up questions with me.
All right.
And thank you. We'll be right back. Say hi. All right, guys, we are back. We got Sarah Aswell here.
Yes.
The second Sarah from the Grassy Knoll.
Hi.
This is Brandon. Brandon Randall.
Yes.
Hello.
He is not going to heaven or hell, only because we cannot get there.
Oh, man.
None of us are welcome.
I'm just going to pick back up on the Jehovah questions because I have
Go
a bunch.
Ahead, yeah.
Is there a big Jehovah population in Simi Valley?
You know, don't know. Well, I mean,
like, how many were in your church?
Like, there was probably a good like 125, but there's like okay, so they have like two buildings, two churches out in Simi Valley, And there's like six congregations that meet out there. So there's probably about 125, 150 people that go.
Okay.
So, yeah, six of those right there. I'm not good with doing math, but I'll.
That sounds like about 700 to 800 Jehovah's Witnesses, something like that. Roaming the Simi Valley streets.
A high density.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's quite a few, you know, like probably a good 7-8 million in the U.S.
Is there, do Jehovah's Witnesses exist outside of the U.S.?
Yeah, no. They're like
it's worldwide.
They're all around the world.
The Scientologists can do it. Why can't the Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah. And they've been around way longer, I think, too.
Yeah.
So.
If a Jehovah's Witness knocks on the door of another Jehovah's Witness, what happens then? Are they like, can we talk to you about Jehovah? And they're like, you can, because we'll talk to you about Jehovah.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you're not.
It's like West Side Story.
Yeah, like hopefully you're not doing anything wrong at the time, I guess, you know, so that way they can't, you know, like.
Is there beer brewing in your
living
room?
Is there beer? Well, I mean, they drink alcohol.
They do?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, they do that. So
that, honestly,
I think they're probably healthier drinkers because you know it's like you got to have something fun to do.
Jehovah's Witnesses already sound way cooler than I thought they were. I thought they were like less crazy Mormons.
Yeah.
But I didn't think you're allowed to drink. Can you smoke cigarettes?
No. You can't.
That's
smoke.
Not allowed.
Yeah. No drugs. No cigarettes and stuff like that.
But so. Alcohol's fine.
Alcohol's
such
fine.
A weird rule.
Yeah. No, I mean, and they're not weird. Like you can't take medications or anything like that.
Or
you
make sound during birth.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm sure that they probably do.
Did you hear this? Like,
they won't talk to me.
Tom Cruise's.
They needed a silent.
I'm the one person. I tried to get audited once, and they weren't having me. I think they felt I was probably very powerful.
Right.
In the Scientologist
world. You broke the whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
The meter thing.
Yeah.
They just go.
The thing that you hold with the hands.
Yeah. I forget what it's called.
Are you related to Elrond? And I go, I am Elrond.
Reincarnated. Ooh.
Yeah. Creeping out Scientologists is probably one of my best features.
Yeah. That's really impressive, actually.
Yeah. I think one of the benefits, though, is like, I mean, hey, you know, like if you don't want to buy Christmas gifts every year, you know, it's like. Kind of getting by a little bit cheaper, too, you know, save a little money and stuff.
There's just no celebrations.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, they don't do anything. Well, I mean, they do, like, the only thing that they, like, recognize is, like, the Jesus' death. And it's not a holiday or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of just, like, a, you know, like a remembrance kind of thing.
Is the original death where he came back, or this is the final
Yeah, it's like
demise.
The original death, you know, like, not the resurrection, not, like, Easter, you know, kind of thing. You know,
right.
There's no hiding eggs or anything like that.
What's the date of that?
It changes every year.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Jesus dies different times?
Yeah, he dies different times. No, but they
Is it
like,
on a Jewish calendar or something?
Yeah, they go off based like off of the Jewish calendar. So yeah, it's like totally different. You know, it's like every year it's like a different day. You know, it could be like, you know, on Easter, it could be around Easter.
Just like Hanukkah. I never know when it is. I'm
a
terrible
exactly.
Jew. I heard it's the third day.
Yeah.
Happy Hanukkah, everyone.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah for sure. Well, this isn't out yet.
Yeah,
so
well.
Hanukkah was a month ago.
Wink!
A whole month? Dang.
Yeah. God. There's so many Jehovah's Witness questions I have.
Oh, yeah. Do you believe in global warming? I mean, or not you, but Jehovah's Witnesses.
You know what? I mean, I still think that, like, you know.
He's from Simi Valley, so he might not believe in global warming.
No, I believe in global warming. Yeah, definitely. So, like, yeah, I'm not one of those kind of people. But, I mean, like, I think everyone's kind of, like, up to their own, you know, to, like, decide. But, you know, they're all just fingers crossed that, you know, like, Armageddon's going to come and wipe it all out and. No, global warming won't be a problem anymore kind of thing. So, I mean, that's not me. I'm like, we need to solve it kind of a thing. So,
right.
I think I like religions that just want everything to end.
it sounds like they're rooting for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's like,
what's the solution?
That's the end goal? It's like,
yeah. What's the solution? Wipe everyone out, start fresh.
It's like, we don't really need a solution because the good Lord Jehovah is going to take care of all of us with a swift, violent death.
Hopefully it's quick, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. It might just be a very slow, painful.
Oh, yeah, right?
I remember when I was in middle school, some of my Catholic friends told me that because I was Jewish, when the end of the world came, God was going to come down and sweep up all the Catholics and Christians and leave the Jews to burn. And I was like, oh, it sounds familiar. Cool.
Yeah. That's like the rapture kind of thing.
Yeah. Like,
again,
all right.
How cool would it be that a good portion of the population is raptured And then the rest of us just get like sweet earth.
Yeah.
Right?
I know. Just get a stay.
Yeah. Hey, I needed a new car. Look what's over here.
It's so great.
And then the world would just return to its natural state without all the pollution. And
yeah. I was one of those people who in the Avengers movies, when Thanos or whatever snapped and half the world was gone, I'm like, that'd be awesome. And people are like, how terrible is this? I'm like, it sounds pretty awesome. I mean,
and all random, right?
Yeah.
So,
obviously, I would miss the people I knew who got snapped out of existence, but at the same time, man, freeway traffic is going to be a dream.
Cakewalk.
Yeah. You wouldn't even have to bring a buddy to make it here in an hour.
No.
You would just be able to drive.
Nah, carpool lane would be wide open.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Watchtower publication, how frequently does this come out?
It's like it's a monthly thing.
Okay.
So yeah, they come out like, and they used to do them. So it was like, the Watchtower was like, 1 month, and then the Awake they were offset by like 2 weeks, kind of a thing. So
So you had new material. Every
you had
two
new
weeks.
Material,
and
then
you
had to go read
weekend?
It. You had to study it. You had to know it, and like go out and like be like, oh hey, look at this, like. Does this interest you? Kind of thing. It's like you had to like pimp it out. Almost.
Those are your sales specs.
That's your sales.
And you're
stuff,
out there
yeah.
really trying to sell this.
I think I should be in sales. Actually, that's probably I'd probably do a lot better.
Your background
that.
Is
yeah. My
be
background is like
it.
Yeah, totally built in sales. So
just showing up at 10 a.m. because he's learned.
He knows.
On a weekend.
10 a.m. sounds great to wake up and start a job.
Was it every weekend or was it like every other weekend?
Oh man, there were people that would go every day.
Wow.
Yeah. There's these
dedication.
There's people that would go every day and stuff. And it's like, oh, yeah, you had to go on like the weekends, though, because you had to like at least put some effort forward. Right.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they'd come up to you and they'd be like, hey,
you're not trying.
No, we haven't seen you. We haven't seen you out there knocking on the doors, handing it out, so, yeah, it's,
So what was the best response and the worst response you ever got from someone when you went to their door?
I mean, you got a lot of like doors slammed in your face, which was great because, like, honestly, I didn't really want to talk about it. I was more like, "Hey,
like,
great,"
whew.
Like, whew, "Oh man, I don't have to talk about this right now." Like, I was like, you're just kind of like doing
you're wasting
your
time most of the time, right?
Yeah,
like even if they listen, they're just gonna be like, "Yeah, not for me, thanks."
Oh yeah, and we were like walking the neighborhoods. It's like dependent on who like you went out, doing the door knocking with. You went out with some of the cooler people, it'd be like, "Oh yeah, what are you doing this weekend? Are we gonna hang out?" Like that kind of thing. But
you had a buddy.
Yeah, exactly. But man, sometimes you go out with someone and they were like, what's your favorite Bible scripture? Oh, what's this and what's that? And it's like, especially for me, I was just like, that one,
the Jesus stuff.
Yeah,
I'm really into.
Yeah, the shortest scripture in the Bible was one that said, I think it was Mary wept or something like that. I'm like, I like that one. It's
you
like,
memorized
two words,
the shortest one.
Like, that was a whole passage right
it's
there.
My favorite.
My favorite.
I can recite it on command.
Yeah.
My favorite Donald Trump moment was when they asked him what his favorite Bible passage was. And he goes, I'd say all of it.
Yeah.
I like all of it.
He was a very
Old Testament,
man.
New Testament, both. I think both books are very important. Like, so great.
So
and,
good.
And somehow his followers were just like, man, that's the right answer. He just loves it all.
Yeah.
That's
New Testament, Old Testament, all good.
I think
they
all
both
books
are
good.
They both are good.
Yeah.
I have a quick question. I'm sorry I'm not on this,
please.
But I want to know if anybody hot ever answer the door in a robe, like a hot lady in a robe.
hot any hot babes answering?
Anyone
trying
to tempt you?
No, there's kind of like some funny stories that I heard. Like, it never happened to me, but I've always heard about like people going to the door and someone would come up to the door naked or something like that.
Yeah.
just for shock value, kind of thing.
The Jehovah's Witnesses are here, let me get the dick out.
Exactly.
Great beginning of a porn.
Yeah, exactly. Dude standing at the door doing a helicopter.
Hell yeah.
I was always scared.
This guy
though.
Knows how to party. Pulling the Ric Flair.
Yeah,
nice
exactly.
Move.
Yeah, but like I don't know. Like, I always was like fearful. Like, I'd see people from like school or something like that. And because they would be like, oh, like you act a different way at school than you're acting kind of like right now.
Yeah, so they
so
might
like,
blow
not
your
that
cover.
I was like a bad kid in school or anything like that, but it was just like. I was like, I was always like worried that they'd be like, oh, Brandon, this kid's, especially being like a bad student and stuff like that. I kind of had a, class clown mentality kind of thing. So, yeah. You know,
rightly
yeah.
so.
Yeah, exactly.
When you had to be conservative and act a certain way.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That was the line you had to walk, you know.
Yeah, so you need an outlet.
Were you more fearful that your classmates would find out you had this religious side, or that the religious side would find out that you had an alternative?
It was just more like I didn't want to talk to them about religion, you know, because it's like I've always felt like, you know, people like have their own religion and stuff like that, and they're able to, you know, choose what they want to do and everything. Who am I to come knocking at their door as, you know, like
literally?
That's the wrong attitude, man.
Yeah, I know. I guess maybe I shouldn't be in sales.
There would be 1,200 Jehovah's
Witnesses.
Do you
want to buy this? No. I totally get that.
Thank God. Now I can just go walk to the next neighbor's house.
You're like, yes.
Yeah.
I love the nose.
Did you know any Jehovah's Witness girls that you were trying to hook up with just through church? Like, I knew a lot of Christians growing up who the main selling point to them was, like, they get to hook up with the girls in their Baptist church or whatever.
Like, a lot of the girls that I knew were, like, super, like, pious, religious kind of girls and everything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there was also the, you know, the couple of girls that were like, oh, yeah, you know, we can't have sex, but, you know, the secondary option's okay kind of thing, you know, I heard about and everything, so, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the butt exactly. is the secondary option. Yeah. I think everyone knew what the secondary option was, Sarah.
The poop hole loophole.
I never
found those girls, though.
Yeah. He knew that this is a classy, religious podcast, and you can't just go out there talking about Jehovah anal, which is how it's listed on Pornhub. Hashtag stepsister, hashtag Jehovah anal. From what I hear. Again, I wouldn't watch pornography, so.
Hashtag number two.
Yeah, exactly right. Wow, all right. Do you have anything else you wanted to ask?
The only other question I had was two-part question about the beer-making process.
Yeah.
What are you doing, like boiling wheat?
So you're taking barley,
okay,
and then they grind it down. And you the thing that I have is kind of like a self-contained unit, but you have – think about like coffee.
It's like a brewing unit.
Think about like coffee. Like, you know, you pour your coffee grounds into like a filter.
Mm-hmm.
And so this thing goes into this big vessel, you know, and then you put all this barley in there, and you're trying to extract out all the sugar, because sugar is what makes, you know, the alcohol.
Ferments
it and everything like that. So you're trying to extract out all of this sugar from like the barleys and everything like that.
Almost like a percolator, like brewing.
Yeah, it's got like a hose that comes up, and it just keeps on recycling water over it. So it's like an endless cycle. It's like a, you know, supercharged coffee. You know, like if you took the coffee from the bottom,
circulated
up on top, and then kept on going, it just pulls all those sugars out, and you're just trying to get as much sugar as you can. So when you ferment, get that alcohol.
But the fermentation only takes like 5 or 6 hours?
Well, the fermentation takes a couple of weeks, actually. So like,
process of like prepping the beer and then it sits for a couple of weeks.
I should have specified that.
Okay.
It's like 6 hours.
I was like, that's it?
Yeah, I know, right?
You could have beer the same day?
Yeah.
We can make beer by the end of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But then once you do that, then it's like you get the sugars, you pour the yeast in, boom, you're done. You know, like it like, you know, does its thing. I have one sitting under the stairs that we just did the other day. It's a winter warmer beer.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's got some different stuff in it.
Do you guys have under the stairs light? Is that...
No, but I have some blue tape on the door that says Beer Cave.
Nice. That's pretty
blue
cool.
Blue tape. Yeah. I like it.
Blue tape, Sharpie marker.
Nice.
And then just out of curiosity, when you make something with like citrus, are you using the juice or the rind?
It's actually using the rind.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's like two different kinds that you can use that, like, I mean, the beer stores that I go to, it's like a sweet rind or it's like a more bittery kind of rind. So.
Oh, you buy like already prepped rind.
You buy it all like pre-prepped.
You're not like peeling oranges.
No.
Also,
this is all what I imagined. Just like a 5 or 6 hour.
He's got a bucket of lemon rinds in his house at all times.
I just go over, you know, pick some off the tree of the neighbor, and, you know,
the benefits of Southern California.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and there's beer stores that sell all the
stuff.
There's
actually
need.
Like beer stores, and it's like amazing. You can go get this stuff, and it's like, you know, few hundred dollar investment, and you can start making it. You can make it on a stove with just a pot, you know, like, I mean, it's super easy. So,
cool.
And then, and honestly, like, once you ferment, you could take that beer and you could turn it into, you know, grain alcohol. and, you know, like by putting a distillation stuff on it and everything, you can extract out the alcohol, turn it into something else. So,
right.
Yeah.
Do you name the beers that you make?
Yeah, we do actually.
What are some of the names that you guys came up with for your personal brew?
Trying to think of someone. We haven't been naming them lately because it got.
You just drank them, so
yeah, we just drank them. But yeah. Like we would start doing like names of like, you know, bands or music or songs or something like that, you know, and we would kind of like try and come up with a name. I can't think of any off the top of my head. Stout, let it all out.
That's nice. A good one.
Yeah,
that's. So. Sweet.
I hope you put more singing into it when you it amongst
stout.
Friends.
Stout, let it all out.
Nice. Dang, that was really what I was looking for.
Me too.
Some pizzazz on this.
A singing ex-Jehovah's Witness.
Maybe you are a salesman after all. We just all start.
Yeah. I'm talking to you.
Is that Depeche Mode?
No, that's Tears for Fears.
Tears for Fears,
yeah.
That's right.
That's a great 80s band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoken like a real man who lived in the 1900s.
Yeah. With the wagons.
Back then, we made our own beer. We kept it under the stairs because we liked it that way.
We sat out by campfires, read our watchtowers, and sang songs.
Oh, watchtower would be a great name for a brew. You should have two beers,
the
one
watchtower.
For
you.
Watchtower was the other
and
one.
And awake,
the
awake. Is yeah. when you pour espresso into
oh,
it.
Oh, we should make a coffee beer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
There we
go. We're going to be so rich from just the ideas.
Oh my gosh. Am I going to have to sign over money to you guys right now?
Dude, we're cool with 70%. That's all right with you.
I think it's well worth it, actually. Who knows?
Well, thank you, Brandon, for being here.
Thank
That's
you very
awesome.
Much.
Very interesting. And is there anything you want to promote?
Could I promote a Buddy's business?
Yeah.
Okay. So my friend has a coffee roasting business down in Moorpark. They have a little coffee place. His wife makes homemade scones and stuff like that. I'm actually wearing the hat. California Coffee Republic.
Nice.
So we've actually used his coffee in our beer and stuff like that. They're online. They sell beans. Just want to promote him. He took a leap of faith, quit his job, selling coffee, roasting coffee, and they're just good people, great coffee, and that's the only thing I would like to do.
It's called California Coffee Republic?
Yeah, californiacoffeerepublic.com.
Are they over there in that little alley?
They are.
Okay, I've been there. Yeah, my sister lives in Moorpark.
Okay, cool.
So we've been out there there's like a little wine place, pizza place.
Yeah.
And I've seen
they're in the same spot as the pizza spot. So they have just the coffee bar inside there.
Oh, very nice.
And they're super, super cool people, like salt of the earth, humble, great, good people. So yeah.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you for letting me do that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys, check them out. Enjoy some local Moorpark coffee.
Well, when you're out there, get some Skiff's cake. And,
yeah.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I got some coffee. All right, I'm in. I'm sold.
Field trip.
I'll bring you some reading literature.
Perfect. When I get my coffee and cake, conversion is next on the list for me.
The three C's.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate it. Thanks for being here, Brandon.
All right, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, keep listening. Rate, do all that stuff, and thanks.
If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please DM IngramPod on Twitter. That's IngraHam Pod on Twitter.
Goodbye to everyday people.
Special thanks to the Comedy Store and to Brian Rips for the dope-ass music.